All right. How are you guys all doing? Well, as you know, it's a special service today. We've got our communion service. Have any of you ever gone and had dinner with your friends, or maybe your friends came to your house and had dinner with you? Yeah? Well, I'll tell you what. Have you ever had dinner with your friends and you knew it was the last time you were going to ever have dinner with them? Well, Jesus had dinner with his friends. And he knew it was going to be the last time that he was ever going to be able to do that. And they didn't necessarily know, but he knew. And so if you're having dinner with your friends for the very last time, you want to do something special to help them remember it, to help you remember it, and, you know, to have a special memory. So Jesus did a couple different things, right? One thing he did was that he noticed their feet were really dusty. And he decided to wash their feet. This was a big surprise. Are you guys familiar with the story of Cinderella? Would you have been pretty surprised if Cinderella's stepmother suddenly decided to do nice things for Cinderella and maybe wash her feet? This was a big deal. He was their teacher, not their servant. Right, exactly. Thank you. These were his friends, and he wanted to do something special. So he got down on his hands and knees and washed all of their feet, each one in turn. And so we did that today, didn't we? We washed each other's feet, and we served each other, because Jesus did that as an example for us to learn to serve one another. That's doing God's work. And the other thing was that he had a special breaking bread and drinking wine or juice, you know, that he did to remember. And he said, you know, like, this is my body that I've given for you, and this is my blood that I've shed for you. And he did that so that when they got together as they fellowship, they could bring him into their presence and remember him in that way as well. And we do that too. So that's what our communion service is about. And I just wanted to make that, you know, so that you guys can understand too. Go ahead and go back to your seats.
Thank you, Brandy. And welcome to the Seventh-day Adventist Church in Brookings. We want to be sure all the visitors get a good welcome. We are not going to have a luncheon this afternoon because of the communion setup. But if you see somebody, welcome them, and if you feel so inclined, grab them and take them home with you for lunch. So I think that we all know that, we've known by now that Jim Ball passed away a few days ago, and there will be a service for him on Thursday, April 18 at 4 p.m. So that's here at the church. You know, I was thinking about Pastor Ball. He's made quite a difference in this church. He came a long time ago, I think for most of us, and he stuck around a long time, and we're grateful for that. And I used to think that when his voice fell silent up here that we would lose something in this church, and I think he will be missed. It also feels to me as if there's a passing of the baton, a new chapter is being written in this church. We have a new church building, which is now paid off. We have a new pastor, and Jim, who was so dedicated to this church, that he was one of the folks behind getting it built, and he wanted to see it paid off, and he did see it get paid off, and that, I'm sure that was a joy to him that he could go to his rest knowing that the church was paid off and he had done his duty. But he will be missed. Let's remember the family, and the service is the 18th on Thursday. Also, we're looking forward to a more joyous news, and that is the church dedication and the quotes, burning of the mortgage. That will be May 25, so be sure you mark that down. And some of you may be asked to participate in some way or another, and please do so. That'll be a pretty exciting event for this church, and again, marks a turning a page that we've worked so hard on getting this built and paid off. So we have some joys and requests. We have a joy that Wayne is thankful that he met Pastor Ball. So let's, who also is happy that they met Jim Ball? Thank you. He will be missed. Wayne also wants to have a request that he'd bring others to Christ. I have a praise. I had one of these experiences where before you even ask, the Lord gives it to you. So I was outside working yesterday afternoon and didn't have my phone with me. So my wife's phone rings and they have my wallet at Denny's. Well, I didn't even know I had lost my wallet. And if you ever lost your wallet, you know, sometimes the first thing you do is freak out about your wallet, and then your mind kind of goes, you know, crazy on you. And God, in this instance, had me avoid all of that and answered my prayer before I even asked. So I'm sure that we all have praises and requests, and let's see a show of hands of unspoken requests and unspoken praises. I think most people have their hand up. I'm sure that's true. So let's seek the Lord in prayer and kneel for the prayer. Dear Father God, we're so thankful that you and your mercy and the Holy Spirit has brought us here today to worship you. And we're thankful so much that you are God and that you care for us and that we are here in the house of worship. We praise you for our life and your mercies, your protection, and your salvation, and especially for your love for us. We want to ask the Holy Spirit to be here today in this building as we go through the communion service, the special dedication and renewal of our lives. We ask for a special blessing upon the pastor as he leads out in this. And we do have a heavy heart today because of the passing of Pastor Ball. We want to especially remember his family and Pat as they are dealing with the loss. Please give them comfort and give them understanding. And will they trust in you? We need to remember the unspoken request. Father, each person has an unspoken request in their heart and a praise for you. You know what they need and what they want. And be with them and grant that request. We want to thank you for Jesus Christ who came to die for us and also live for us, and that we may have a chance at eternal life spending with you. And we pray all these things in Jesus' name, amen.
Morning. Happy Sabbath. Today's reading will be a responsive reading, so if you'll get your hymnals out, it's number 773 in the back of your hymnals. I'll read the light printing, you'll respond in the dark. The Lord's Supper. I receive from the Lord that which I also deliver to you. Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken. This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do, as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me. Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord.
A minister had preached a message at a gospel meeting in England many years ago, and a coal miner approached him after the service, and the coal miner said, "I would like to be a Christian, but I cannot receive what you have said tonight." The minister asked, "Why not?" He said, "I would give anything to believe that God would forgive my sins, but I cannot believe it because it just seems too cheap for me just to ask and that God is going to forgive my sins like that." The minister looked at the man and he said, "Sir, have you been at work today?" He replied, "Yes." The minister asked, "Where have you been working?" He said, "I was down in the mine as usual." To which the minister asked another question, "How did you get out of the pit?" And he said, "The way I always do, I got into the cage and I was pulled to the top." The minister asked him, "How much did you pay to come out of the pit?" And the coal miner looked at the minister with a look of astonishment and he said, "Pay? Of course. I don't pay anything." The minister asked the question, "Were you not afraid to trust yourself in that cage? Wasn't it too cheap?" "Oh, no," he said. "It was cheap for me, but it cost the company a lot of money to sink that shaft." And without another word, the truth of the fact that God had done something for him dawned on this coal miner. It was not something he could purchase. It was something that was done for him in a very wonderful way, and that salvation could be had without money and without price, and yet a great price was paid. And it was the price of the death of the Son of God. I think of the coal miners, 33 of them, in Chile in 2010. You may remember the story when a mine shaft collapsed and 33 coal miners were trapped 2,000 feet down below the surface. At first, it was thought that they had all died, but of course, as we know, as the days went by, it was discovered that they were all actually alive in a little area that was about as big as a one-room apartment. And it was 90 degrees down there. And they had stayed alive for many days by rationing the little bit of food that they had. The only lights they had were the lights on their helmets. Some holes were bored down that were actually able to get some food down to them. And eventually, a big enough hole, it was for a capsule that was 21 inches in width, that was able to be lowered down, and each one of those miners was lifted up out of that mine. that had collapsed, and the families were there. The president of Chile was there. Everybody was there in this great celebration. The first one to be rescued was the youngest one. They were aged 19 to 62. And the last one that came up was the foreman. He waited till the end to be lifted up. One man, as he got up out of that shaft, the first thing he did was to kneel down and pray and to thank God for his deliverance. But none of them paid anything to be lifted out of that mine. But others paid. I think the government paid. Perhaps the mining company paid. A lot of people paid for that. And it made it possible for them to be delivered. One of the most powerful texts on the gospel is in Galatians chapter 1, verses 3 through 5. Galatians chapter 1 and verses 3 through 5. The Apostle Paul writes, "Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ." And verse 2 describes our deliverance. "Who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father, and to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen." But he gave himself to deliver us from this coal mine of sin that we have been trapped in. We're down in the darkness. There's no hope for us. There's no way of getting out, but through the wonderful grace of God, something we didn't do, something we didn't pay for, something that he did, we are rescued in a wonderful way, and we can celebrate that, and that's why we're here today to celebrate this communion, is the justifying grace of Jesus Christ and the sanctifying transformative power of Jesus Christ to change our lives. We have that through Christ. Amen. A little poem says, I would not try my soul to save, for that the Lord has done, but I would work like any slave for love of God's dear Son. As we are lifted up day by day by the reminder of the fact that Jesus saves, even though we feel we are not worthy of being saved, we are lifted by the grace of God. When Satan comes to tell us that we are not worthy, that we have continued to make more and more mistakes, and we're not good enough, and we should be better, and we should know better, it is the grace of God that speaks to us and says, you are perfect in Christ because you trust in Jesus. It is the grace of God that says, yes, you may not be perfect yet, but you're not what you once were either. There have been changes. There has been improvement in your life. You're not perfect yet, but you're getting there. And we're lifted up out of the mine of discouragement and the mine of sin. When we feel that we haven't made much of a difference in other people's lives, the Lord sends a message to us sometimes of someone that was helped and someone that was blessed, or a simple reminder that we cannot always know the results of our efforts in this life, and we're lifted up out of that mine shaft of discouragement, knowing that our life is making a difference. Why does God bring us this deliverance? Why does he lift us up by forgiveness of our sins and by the outpouring of the Holy Spirit? The purpose of it is so that we could glorify him. and not only to enjoy it for ourselves, but to bring praise and glory to God. We find that in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 31. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 31. Therefore, whether you eat or drink, and that's what we're going to be doing today, partaking, eating and drinking of the Lord's Supper. Whether you eat or drink, or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Now that's an action verse, isn't it? It has a little word, do. And that little word is also in the text of the passage that was read for the scripture reading today. So we want that to go up on the screen now. 1 Corinthians 11, verses 23 through 26. As we read through this passage, let us notice the action words. It's a very active text. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. There's the first action word. He took bread. And when he had given thanks, now is that another important action? Communion is about giving thanks to God for what he has done for us. He broke it, another action word, and said, now notice these two action words, take, eat, actions that we like to do every day, but this time it's something special. Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. That was a profound action for us. But I want you to notice this little word that comes next. Do. We read in the other verse, do all to the glory of God. And here it says, do this. When you partake of this communion, do this in remembrance of me. Note that. Let us continue reading in verse 25. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do, there it is again, as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. This phrase, do in remembrance of me, occurs two times in this passage, and there are many other action words. Let's go to verse 26. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. We have here in the communion passage a reminder that being a Christian is something that involves action. The action that we will be partaking of today is the action of eating and drinking of the Lord's Supper. And we are reminded, this do in remembrance of me, in remembrance of what Jesus has done for us. And we're going to partake of those emblems in just a few minutes. But I want you to think about the words, do this in remembrance of me. We find that when we have met the Lord Jesus Christ, when we've experienced his grace, every action of our lives becomes an action that we do in remembrance of Jesus. When someone calls and asks us for help, we respond not just because we want to be helpful, but because we remember our Savior and all that he did for us. And we think, and we should think, that this help, this action we're about to perform for someone else, we are doing it in remembrance of Jesus. When duty calls and we know what the Lord has called us to do in some area of our life, when we wake up in the morning and the first thing we do is go down on our knees to pray, we do it in remembrance of him. When we open up our Bibles and read the wonderful promises of his word every morning, we do it in remembrance of him. when we go about our duties of the day and try to be faithful and try to do things as unto the Lord, wherever we may work, whether it's at home or at our job or whatever we're doing, we want to pray, Lord, help me to do this in remembrance of you. Doing things because of what Jesus has done for us makes all the difference in the world. Our text reminds us that we are called to proclaim this message to everyone. As often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. The first coming of Jesus, his death and resurrection, and the second coming of Jesus, all mentioned in this text. And we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. We're called to proclaim that to the whole world. And I have a little example of it here, of an illustration I want to use. Found this can in our house that we moved into. Does anybody recognize this? I dare say that everyone in this church knows what this is. And do you know that over 90% of the world recognizes this can? They either drink this, or they, if they don't drink it, they know what it is. Coca-Cola Company has gone around the world. We could take a lesson from that. Over 90% of the world knows what this is. Do you know what the percentage is of the number of people in the world that recognize the cross and what it means? It's just a little bit over 50% of the world. 50% versus 90%. We are called to proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. And may it be that the Lord will help us by the power of his Holy Spirit to do our part in our little part of the world and to help everybody else in all the other parts of the world through our mission offerings and our support of those who are proclaiming the gospel, so that that percentage of those who know what the cross means would increase. God has called us to that calling, and that's why we're here as a church. The church is the only organization in the world that actually exists because of other people that are not members of it. We exist for the non-members of the world. And we need to be reminded Jesus Christ died for the wicked. He died for the unsaved. He didn't only die for the church. But let us seek in different ways to be faithful in that calling of giving this wonderful, life-giving, hope-giving message to the world as fast as we possibly can. At this time, we will go straight into our communion service. And so I would like to invite the elders to come forward and the deacons to come forward as we go into our communion service at this time. Yeah, that's good. Okay. Okay. We can sit down. We will have a special prayer for the emblems as we begin our service today. We will kneel as the congregation remains seated. You're welcome to join with us in kneeling if you'd like, but we will kneel at this time as we open up time for our service.
Our Father, as we remember what you've done for us, the memorial it's at today with taking of the bread, which is your body, which is broken for us, for forgiveness of sins and for our salvation. As we partake of this, may we truly recognize the sacrifice that you made. And may our love for you and what you did for us grow each day. May we have this relationship so that we can be united with you when you come back. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for this service. We thank you for dying for each one of us, for giving us the gift of salvation. We thank you for the bread that we're about to partake, the symbol of your broken body. May we always remember your love for us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Lord says, under conviction of sin, remember that I died for you. When oppressed and persecuted and afflicted for my sake and the gospel's, remember my love, so great that for you I gave my life. When your duties appear stern and severe and your burdens too heavy to bear, remember that for your sake I endured the cross, despising the shame. When your heart shrinks from the trying ordeal, remember that your Redeemer liveth to make intercession for you. We hold this bread in our hands, a very small emblem, but reminding us of who our Savior is and what he's done for us, his broken body. Jesus said, "This is my body, when he gave the instructions, he did not explain what he meant by that. That has been the source of controversy for hundreds and hundreds of years in Christianity. What did Jesus mean when he said, "This is my body"? Does it mean that the bread is transformed into the very body of Jesus, as many believe? Or does it mean that it's a symbol of his body? He didn't explain himself what he meant. And there is this idea that the real presence of Jesus is in the communion, and Christian denominations will say Jesus is present in the bread, in the sense that he actually becomes the bread. You know, this is called the idea of transubstantiation, which we do not believe. We believe it is a symbol of his body. But I would submit to you today that we do believe in the real presence of Jesus in communion, not in the bread, in some kind of miraculous transformation of the bread. By the way, how difficult would that be for God to transform himself into bread? That wouldn't be very hard for God, would it? If that was the greatest thing about the plan of salvation, God could have done that easily. It's not the bread that needs to be changed. It is we who partake of the bread who need to be changed. That is the good news of the gospel. And the real presence of Jesus is here when we partake of communion, when there is an atmosphere of faith in our hearts, when the grace of God has come into us and enabled us to serve one another in foot washing, which is not just one action, but a symbol of humble service all the time. When we experience the cleansing of it as a baptism for service, when we greet one another and are happy to see our brothers and sisters in the family of God, the presence of Jesus is here. When we think about his promises and we find comfort and encouragement in the worship service, the presence of Jesus is here. When we go from this place, out of these doors, and go out to serve and to share the blessings that God has given us, the presence of Jesus is with us. He's with us out there, and he's with us in here. We believe in the real presence of Jesus in communion, as Jesus is present in the hearts of people. As we partake of this, let us remember this most important truth, that God is able to change us and transform us through the power of his Spirit and by the power of the death and resurrection of our Savior. The scripture says, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." the cup that we hold in our hands reminds us of how much we are valued by God, of how much He is willing to give up of Himself in order to save us, shedding His blood for us. The person sitting next to you and you yourself are purchased by the blood of Christ. The people that you see outside are purchased by the blood of Christ. Everyone has four letters etched on their forehead, as it were, CDFM, Christ died for me. The Bible says that the little that a righteous man has is better than the riches of many wicked, and we hold a very little cup in our hands that is the greatest riches of the world. It is the spiritual riches of knowing what Jesus has done for us and who He is to us. The Scripture says, "This cup is the blood of the new covenant. As often as you drink this cup, do this in remembrance of me," and we show the Lord's death until He comes. Last Saturday night, as we met for our prayer meeting, there was a special testimony that was given by our new brother, David Keitel. And I asked David if he would share this brief testimony with us today as we close our communion service. So I'd like to ask David to come forward, and you can please share your story with us if you would.
Yeah, they were asking for a little testimony, and I had something that had happened recently that showed the generosity of God to us.
David, hold your mic up.
Closer?
Yeah.
Evelyn and I just moved here. Evelyn's from Arizona, and I'm from Montana. She wanted to get away from the desert, and I was tired of the waste howling prairie with the incessant wind and mosquitoes and the stark dreariness of it all. We both love the temperate rainforest here. Evelyn was living here when I met her. But first we had to get our house sold off in Montana, and we had to get Tyler graduated through school. It took about 3 or 4 years to get Tyler graduated off, and then we could start trying to sell the house. So we advertised. We listed, I think, 3 different realtors over the years. No luck. Nobody was showing our house. And we were kind of getting impatient, and we kept praying, "Lord, if you don't want us to move out to Brookings, Oregon, please let a tree fall on that house and crush it, or let the fire burn it up, or let there be a big mudslide." And none of that happened, and our landlord miraculously held it open for us for an extremely low monthly fee for 9 years. Who would do that? Kept this place open for us. Helen White says, "Get out of the cities, get out of the cities." We weren't exactly living in the city. We lived in a small town where a grizzly bear had been seen walking down the street by the post office by more than one person. But it was on a 1/6-acre lot, which wasn't any better than when I was a kid living in Chicago. And we have goats and chickens and dogs and cats and not a lot of room for a garden. So we had just about given up about 1.5 years ago. We didn't have it listed anymore. And then all of a sudden, out of the blue, we got a call over the phone from a young lady who was a part-time realtor. She said, "Hey, I noticed you guys had been trying to sell your house. It's not listed anymore. You mind if I give it a try?" We said, "Sure, go ahead, knock yourself out." What can she do that all these other realtors couldn't do? She showed it twice within a week and sold it to the second person for the full asking price. It enabled us to get... it helped us a lot to get out of debt. We had money to move with. So as soon as my work season was over, we loaded up the trucks and we moved to Beverly. We had a 26-foot U-Haul, a 1-ton dually with a 4-horse trailer, and another vehicle towing a car behind it. We moved in November. We went over 3 mountain passes in Montana. No snow, no slush, no ice. moved in November in Oregon. No rain, no fog. That was unheard of. I don't remember how many tires we had on the ground. We didn't have a single flat tire, no vehicle problems at all. We came chugging up Gardner Ridge Road, which is pretty steep. And I mean, we had everything in first gear and we just barely made it. People say it's really hard to get jobs out here. Evelyn had a job interview the day after we got here, before we were even unloaded, and she went to work at a much less stressful job than the one she had in Montana before we even had our boxes unpacked. So the Lord was looking out for us. Everything was in God's timing. When we got here, we immediately needed to build a chicken coop and a chicken pen, a goat shack and a goat pen and a dog run and all this stuff. You know, we needed building materials and we didn't have a whole lot of money. Now, we would love to have gone down to Todd Gold Beach Lumber and just bought everything and hired Don Kirk Construction to just build everything for us, but we, like I said, we didn't have the money. So we prayed, Lord, if you had any free boards anywhere, please show us. Wasn't more than a couple hours later, Evelyn happened to be looking on the Coastal Garage Sale on Facebook, and there were some people that were, they had a house, a two-bedroom cottage, they wanted it torn down. And so I showed up the next day, hoping to get something, anything, even just a couple sheets of plywood. Well, two ladies showed up that wanted, a couple of countertops, a couple of window frames or whatever, and that was it. They said they had about 24 people interested, but none of them showed up. So I got to tear that whole entire house down, and you can imagine the piles of dimensional lumber and sheeting and stuff I got out of that. Got everything I need for all of our project, absolutely free except for the elbow grease. And then the lady that I tore it down for, she had this great big stack of 8-foot pallets, really nice looking pallets that she was going to use for lining her hot tub in her garage or something. And I just asked her, I said, what are those? Where can I buy some of those? The next day, she said, you can have all them. She says, plus my friend at the mill has a stack of 30 more. You can have all them too. I guess they wanted to pay me back for tearing a house down. I thought they were being extremely generous, but, and then he said, oh, by the way, I just tore down a Quonset hut and I've got all this roofing metal. He gave me 34 pieces of roofing metal, 16 feet long by 3 feet wide. Got enough roofing for everything. Who cares if it has a couple of nail holes in it? You know, it's for animal sheds and whatnot. So anyway, it just goes to show how incredibly generous God can be. All you have to do is ask. And it's okay to ask for temporal blessings, but our Heavenly Father wants us more so to ask for spiritual blessings. And, you know, we can say, oh, Lord, won't you buy me a Mercedes-Benz, but you're probably not going to get it because you don't need a Mercedes-Benz. What do we need? It says, I'm going to read Matthew 7, verses 9 through 10, if I can read it. It says, for what man is there among you which if his son ask him bread, would give him a stone? Or if he ask fish, will he give him a serpent? God has told us what kind of things to pray for. He knows what kind of things we need. And there's a list of them in the scriptures. I can't remember the list, but amongst other things, meekness, patience, kindness, you know, those kind of things. He tells us what to pray for. And so we should pray for those things. We know in faith that he'll give them to us. And those things are eternal. They say that a prayer is applied intelligence. So if we train ourselves to know what to pray for, whether it be in our spiritual building, he will give us those things. You know, whatever he begins in us, he will finish it. One of my favorite preachers, C.D. Brooks, he says, you can decorate the kitchen as you get the money, but you've only got one shot at a strong foundation. I really like that quotation. And so that's true, whether you're building a temporal or spiritual building. I want to read 1 Corinthians 3, 10. According to the grace of God given to me, as a skillful master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth upon it. For other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. And if any man build on this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, timber, hay, or stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it is to be revealed by the fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. We pray for the kind of building materials we want in our spiritual temples. Like I mentioned, patience, temperance, meekness, kindness, etc. I'd also like to read Ephesians 2, 19, 22. These are some good verses that have to do with spiritual building. Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building coupled together groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are built together to be habitation of God by the Spirit. This is a little bit different. This is the 1599 Geneva Bible. It's probably not what you're all used to. So I just want to point out, God's timing is always right. And right now, there's still a little time for us to build spiritually. That's all I've got to say for right now. Thank you.
Thank you, David, for sharing that testimony with us. The Lord provides. He provides material blessings, and he provides spiritual blessings. And we've partaken of spiritual blessings this morning, and we're going to partake of all of God's blessings as we go out from this church today and share his blessings with the world. We will finish up our service now, and there will be an offering. A deacon will stand at the door with an offering plate for an offering for those in need, as we do every quarterly service. So we ask you to be generous with that offering. And we will sing our closing hymn, Sent Forth by God's Blessing. Let us turn in our hymnals to our closing hymn.
Number 407. Please stand.
Sent forth by God's blessing, our true faith confessing, the people of God from his dwelling take leave. The supper is ended, oh, now be extended the fruits of this service in all who believe. The seed of his teaching, souls reaching, shall blossom in action for God and for all. His grace did invite us, his love shall unite us to work for God's kingdom and answer his call. With praise and thanksgiving to God ever living, the tasks of our everyday life we will face. Our faith ever sharing and love ever caring, embracing his children of each tribe and race. With your feast you feed us, with your light now lead us, unite us as one in this life that we share. Then may all the living with praise.
And when they had sung a hymn, they went out. Amen. They sang while they were. It's just a minute. Yeah.